Today's April 3rd, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $66,895.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Man, I will tell you what, it seems like every day the world is getting into more and more of a tailspin.
I don't know. I can't disagree with you.
I don't know if that's good news or bad news or where we're at.
I'm pretty sure that's pretty bad news. You know, it's not like it's gone off the rails yet, but the crazy train is going down, it feels like.
No, for sure. I feel like, you know, and using the train metaphor, I feel like we're not off the rails yet. I agree, but I think every time we hit a turn, it feels like the train's lifting up on one side and coming off the tracks just a little bit.
Exactly.
If it still comes back down, but at the same time, I'm like, man, we keep on accelerating these turns. We're gonna come off that rail. Either that, or there's a bridge out ahead, and we're just speeding towards it. I don't know which.
Yep. Maybe.
which one's better in that scenario? Is it better for us to roll over, or is it better just to go off the edge?
If you're looking to survive, roll over. If you just want to call it a day, let's go off that bridge, baby.
Let's just go off the bridge. Oh, man. Okay. So, apologize. I meant for us to record an episode last week, but I've been trying to get the yard kind of together for Easter coming up, and I had to take care of some yard work, basically. And man, I was sore. I'm starting to feel age from time to time. I was sore until, I'm still kind of sore today, but like I couldn't bend down most of this week. I was hurting so bad.
Those are some old man cramps, you know?
Oh, it totally is. Yeah, it was just like, and it wasn't like my back. It wasn't my back. It was my, like, the back of my thigh, like just bending over down there. I was just like, oh God, what is that? Like, why does it hurt so bad? But that's just old man age, I guess. How are theoreticals doing?
Well, not doing exactly great. First theoretical purchase. This one's doing all right still. Back in October 2023, $3,000 could have bought you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And at today's price, that $3,000 investment is now worth $5,920. So, you know, last episode we were over $6,000. Now we're under. But second theoretical purchase right at the halving, the most recent halving in April 2024. $1,000 could have bought you 0.01564 Bitcoin, and that purchase is now worth $1,046.
You know what's interesting about that is that I know past few episodes that we've recorded, we've talked about how, because we've been recording on the weekends, how we get up to, you know, in like what, mid 75 range. That didn't happen this week.
No, we didn't break 70. Actually, this is a pretty cycle low type week earlier this week. So,
yeah. Yeah, whatever momentum we may have had going into, or I guess exiting March, because that was the big thing, is that we didn't see anything happen. The high that we had in March was right around 76,000. We've lost that pretty quickly. We pumped up again the following week into 72. So we've been seeing lower highs, right? And now this week our high was 69. So we didn't even break 69. Nice. We didn't even break 70,000 this week. So it's been weird. Like, I guess if you're a trader, I guess that's perfect, right? Like, because you've been able to kind of watch the market and be like, all right, we're going to have a sell-off going into the weekend. We'll pump back up during the week. You know, that kind of wash, rinse, or repeat thing over and over again. But it seems like we're getting lessening returns on that, which we had talked, I think, at the beginning of March about we expected possibly a sell-off to the end of March.
Yeah.
And
I mean, there was 65 is kind of a sell-off, but it's not really the kind of sell-off we were looking for.
No, no, it's still, because I think you and I are both in agreement, if I can talk, that we're probably looking at still one more leg down on this.
Yep, at least.
Timing is the question.
Yeah, timing is the question. And, you know, usually we, like, this part of the cycle will last until the third quarter of this year, you know.
Yeah.
And then maybe we find our way out somehow.
Yeah.
That's usually the time to buy.
That's the question. And it's a good point. Last time we looked, the ETFs were looking better on the black, but this time we're back to seeing more red. And there's actually a bunch of the ETFs. Like if we're looking at the chart here on far side, a bunch of just no inflows. So not only are there negative outflows, but then there's just some of these are not buying at all. And you brought up something kind of interesting. Morgan Stanley's going to introduce a ETF, right?
You're right.
So
with the lowest fees on the market.
That might be a good one to get into. If you decide you want to keep your Bitcoin on an exchange, although, or not an exchange, but through the stock market. Now, I think the crazy thing about that is that you don't own that Bitcoin.
No.
It's the same thing with physical gold, right? Like if you're buying the paper, you're not in physical possession.
This is basically the current version of paper Bitcoin.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I know even for me, because I am typically the permable out of the two of us, I would like to see an increase, but I still, logically speaking, for your cycle, we're not going to see that. I don't think we're going to see a high anytime soon. I could be wrong.
Not unless the crazy train goes off the rails, and that's more like the financial system.
Yeah.
You know.
No, for sure. And it's interesting because Willy Woo actually put out some information on X talking about the CVDD-based models, which were older models that were used within the Bitcoin space to kind of mark pricing and how they would use predictive markers for, you know, what was happening within the cycles. Now, that model currently is showing that we're going to bottom around 46 to 54,000. However, like they question, are those models losing their predictive validity? Just because this cycle, and we've talked about this so many times, has been so weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I do
know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it just felt like every cycle beforehand, if you're watching them, and you know, Hans, you've lived through most of them, and just looking at the past and just looking how things were going, this most recent cycle just felt off.
Oh, it's weird.
You never felt like you were comfortable. And I think that's kind of, especially just the peak being 126. I mean, everyone was expecting much, much, much higher. We were being conservative, saying 150. And, it still didn't even hit that.
Yeah.
And the ramp up, you know, hitting an all-time high before the halving, that also threw everything pretty wild. You know, it was just a really, it just feels like whatever model you have in your brain or on paper, it's just not working now.
Yeah. It's completely, I would say, I don't want to say completely broken. I think there's still some.
It's distorted.
Yeah. I think there's some wisdom that you can still gain by looking at the past cycles, but it's not as clear. And let's be perfectly frank, like even with the models on the past cycles, like even the clarity it was still kind of murky. Like you had some rhymes that kind of correlated to what happened in the previous cycles, but it was never going to be exactly the same. And I think you're right. Like distortion is probably the best term for it, because now not only is it not quite rhyming, like it's like a bar off from what the previous stanza may have been. It's still kind of there, but it's shedding some of its stability, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I'm talking crazy.
No, that makes it makes sense to me. That
okay. yeah. So I don't know that number, even though that model may be broken, that number 46 to 54,000, like I said, I think that feels like what I'd expect at the bottom. Were you predicting lower, or do you think that's about in line?
Well, I can't remember what I said last time. You know, it was like basically 40% off of the high. And I always, you know, I have to plug it into my calculator, but it was 126. And if we're going to go at 40% of that, that comes out to 50,400.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's well within that range. Yep. So I don't know. Everything is so weird. That's all I can say. That's just how I feel about it. One of the big things that we saw too this over this last week is that it looks like there's a bunch of miners that are selling off Bitcoin. We were looking earlier, and I'm not sure on the terminology on this. I probably should do more research before we talk about it. But it was in September of 2025. The hash rate hit an all-time high. What was it? 1.2 zeta hash. So what we had
said. I'm assuming that's there's so many zeros. I mean, I'm pretty lost too. We don't usually deal with that many that high numbers, right?
Yeah, and the only thing that stood out to me about that was that it hit that level, and then it looked like in January of 25 we dropped down to it was like 0.6 or well it was 6 exahashes, 685 or something like that. So it was almost like a reduction in half by from where it was. And it looks like right now we're at like a point, well, 985 exahashes again. So we're not in that zeta hash range. And I don't know if that's right. So I keep on prefacing that. But it's kind of interesting because we're seeing a lot of Riot and like Marathon, the Bitcoin mining companies that are trading on the NASDAQ. They're selling Bitcoin currently. Riot sold 3,778 Bitcoin and Marathon sold 15,133 Bitcoin, totaling over $1 billion in proceeds between the two. It's towards developing infrastructure for artificial intelligence and high performance computing. So that's the other thing. A lot of these are starting to switch over some of their data center abilities to AI.
Interesting.
That doesn't make any sense.
Bubble. I think AI is kind of the next bubble. So.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting how I wonder what that's going to look like. I'm personally, what I'd recommend is if you do have some sort of a small miner at home, get them online. If you weren't running it, you know, run it. I mean, we've got it. That was one of the fears that I always had whenever we started to look at, stock traded Bitcoin miners like that is that they have a fiduciary expectation to make sure and make money for their shareholders. So if they can switch over to AI and make money, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says that they only have to stick to mining Bitcoin. And I wonder about that with the hardware. Like maybe that hardware does compute over because it could be graphics card chips. Because if you remember, a lot of there was always been weird spikes between graphics cards and the crypto market. They were pushing up the price of graphics cards like crazy. So I'm assuming, yeah, it's still the same thing. Like you can use those graphics cards for either mining Bitcoin or for currently now AI. It just seems like there's going to be a lot of horsepower getting pushed that way. And I think it's kind of an interesting shift. I don't know if they'll completely switch over. I can't imagine they will. I think they would still want to make some Bitcoin. But you never know how it's going to
get back into Bitcoin when the market conditions improve.
Yeah.
Probably next year.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you're probably right. They'll switch back over. Especially as like different things come to be, different technologies come online for data mining, or at data centers, I should say, it's still data mining. They're going to be doing that as well. And then one of the other big stories that came out this week was the quantum computing threat.
Yes.
I think initially there were some stories that were saying what they had said it was 2029 or 2030 before quantum computing would be able to do that.
Yep, before it could crack basically the cryptography of Bitcoin.
Yeah. And now it's looking like it's as early as 2028. Now, and I do want to say this, like, as many people are like, oh my God, they can break the cryptography of Bitcoin. Well, if it can break the cryptography of Bitcoin, think of what it can do to your regular bank account. Which one do you think is stronger?
Honestly, I think it can also break nuclear codes, for Jesus. All the weapons across the world. So Bitcoin is kind of like, I mean, it's a priority, but it's probably somewhere lower on your priority list.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yep.
The one...
So...
That's terrifying. I didn't think about that either. The one thing that I think, the only thing that I know of that was kind of agreed upon by the countries of the world with in regards to AI, because AI is so prevalent nowadays, is that they would not allow AI to be in the loop of nuclear systems. But if they tie quantum computing into AI and then it can hack the nuclear codes, it's like, well, that doesn't matter anymore either.
I mean, welcome Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
Terminator 2 style, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So experts are warning that there's going to have to be an upgrade to Bitcoin's hash functions or the encryption methods. My question is, they're looking at different solutions. Like, how does that work for mining? Because, I mean, you've got to get every miner to agree to switch to upgrade to the new code, which I can't imagine anybody won't if they find something that's still solid. But what about the miners that currently exist? Are they still going to be able to up to the task of whatever that new algorithm is?
My guess is probably not. I mean, I don't know that for the fact, but that's where my feeling is.
Yeah. And I think that's the one thing that I do want to stress, though. And I mean, I know you brought up nuclear codes, but if they can break Bitcoin's cryptography, they can easily break into your bank accounts anyways. Like that's not going to matter. Upgrades have got to happen across the board. Because we know like banks are not known for their solid security. I mean, I guess in some regards, yeah, but they're just like, whatever. We'll just print you some more money and make it up to you if you get fraudstered or whatever the case may be. Only with Bitcoin, there's nobody that's a lender of
rational resources. There is no person to deal with.
Yeah.
There's no customer service.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. I wonder how quickly, I know people are working on it, but they'll have to figure out how to upgrade beyond that to where at least quantum computing. And the question about quantum computing, you're gonna have to have something that is quantum proof or at least quantum, I don't know what the heck you'd call it.
Quantum ready?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if there's anything such as quantum proof.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think especially because if they're going to advance that quickly, like the brute force power of quantum computing is just going to continue to increase exponentially quick as well. I mean, we see it with chips already. It's been what Moore's law has been in effect for how long? And it still holds true.
Yeah.
I know it's not a direct comparison to quantum computing because of the qubits or whatever, but they're advancing at a pretty quick pace too. So, as they figure out more and more stuff. And the question is like, at what point, well, it's not a question. At what point do quantum computers become part of a desktop? That's probably a little ways away, but maybe not. And just to add to the doom and gloom, treasury yields are surging. Oil prices are still going up. And ETF flows are just not positive right now. 10-year treasury yields is pushing to 5%, and that's usually a headwind for Bitcoin. Brent crude jumped from $75 up to right now it is 112, and then 296 million in outflows. And I think that was, what day was that? I mean, that looks like that was just the 27th. We've only had a couple positive days when we were looking at the chart there. So, things are scary, I think, all the way around. I think that's why I was talking about everything's topsy-turvy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, everything just feels like you're walking through quicksand at best.
Or, with goggles on that are covered in black vellum.
Yep. It's a interesting time. It's always been interesting, Hans.
Yeah.
The past 25 years have been insane. So, it just always seems like it's ramping up a little bit more every year.
Mm-hmm. I'm going by faster and faster. Faster and faster. I don't know. I don't have anything. I wish I had something positive to bring to the episode this week, but I there's nothing that's overtly positive all the way around. I think Bitcoin's kind of taking a backseat to the macroeconomic stuff, and it's feeling every bump as that macro driver is just hitting everything on its way. Yep. But at least we're not like at 20,000.
That's true. Yep, that's true.
I don't know. Anything else you want to bring up today?
I don't think I have anything else. I think I've depressed myself enough.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry if this episode was not the most positive. Go out, touch some grass this weekend, spend some time with family and friends. And
had some Easter eggs, if that's your thing.
Yeah, put some Bitcoin in some Easter eggs. Give it to the kids. They won't know what it is.
Awesome. They'll try and eat it.
They will try and eat it. Thank you all for listening.